Comcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Really appreciate Carlos and George over at Bosque Plumbing and Heating. They do a lot to support us. Want to welcome into the studio Pastor Brian Nixon. He oversees education and publishing for Calvary Church. And I always have to tease him because he's a parent, he's a grandfather, he's an author, painter, writer, writes poetry, writes music, and is a teacher with Calvary College.
I am. And that's why I'm here with you today, Jim, before you get to your real guest, who I can't wait to listen to, Alex. But we this week have a student for an evening, and beginning tonight, anyone could pop in as long as they register in one of the classes at Calvary College. So tonight we have theology with Pastor Nelson Walker, and he's going to be talking about the marks of a false church and some church government elements. Tomorrow night I'll be talking about choosing the right Bible for you. And my class will be in the Plex here at Calvary Albuquerque. And then Thursday night, back with Pastor Nelson Walker, and he's going to be talking about nurturing spirituality. And if you're interested in any of these classes, just simply go to calvarynm.church, and it will take you to the events page where you register. So it's free of charge. You just are interested in learning more about Calvary College. This is the night you can, you know, just pop in and soak in what's going on.
So, Brian, here's an example. I'm a guy that went to the University of New Mexico, got an undergraduate degree, begrudgingly, but I had to get the degree in order, or had to go to class at least, to be eligible to play basketball.
Right.
I think I'd do better in courses now.
Yeah.
Is this made for a person like me?
Oh, unquestionably. It's made for adults, for students interested in the Bible or Christianity. It really is. I mean, Calvary College is here for anyone at all walks of life, you know, adults, 18 and older. But it really is a educational institution that's established for people to go deeper into their Christian faith.
And it's not just for people that want to go deeper in their Christian faith. There may be people that want to have a career in ministry.
That's exactly right.
And degree programs are available.
That's exactly right. You know, you could start here, transfer to one of our sister or, you know, institutions we partner with, but it's a great way for people to get their feet wet in an academic setting, but also a setting that is, you know, Christian-based.
Brian, I don't think people realize this, but at Calvary Church, when I was first on staff here at Calvary Church, we had 12 people on church, and this was on the staff of the church. This was about 1985. Today we have over 160 people on staff, so there's a lot of career opportunities when it comes to ministry.
That's exactly right, and Calvary's just one of many churches. There's lots of churches in this town, in the state, of course, in the region, and I think any church would value someone who's been through some ministry training. So, again, one last time, tonight, theology with Dr. Nelson Walker. Tomorrow night, myself, I'll be talking about choosing the right Bible. The class actually I've been teaching is history and authenticity of the Bible, but I'm going to be focusing on a specific area tonight, tomorrow night. And then Thursday, spiritual foundations with Nelson Walker. Just go to calvarynm.church and sign up for your student for the night, and it's going to be a fun week.
And when you get to the webpage, calvarynm.church, click on the events tab, and then you will see the student for an evening banner. Just click on it, and that'll take you through all the registration stuff.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Appreciate
you. Let's get to the real star of today, Alex, who's doing some tremendous things. Just, you know, it's interesting when you talk to one of your guests before the station and you hear what they're doing, you're going, oh man, this is amazing. That I was literally just talking about this with a friend a couple of days ago. So I'm glad you have on Alex.
Alex Horton, welcome to ABQ Connect. He's the founder and International District Economic Development Center. What a neat thing.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me on.
Get real close to that microphone. There you go.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be here, to be able to talk about this area that I love so much.
Well, it's a community that you grew up in. I've just met you a few minutes ago, but we got a chance to be acquainted and pray together a little bit. Alex, you're not choosing an easy fight, my friend. Tell us a little bit about why you are fighting for businesses and people living in the International District in Albuquerque.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in this area, right there in the South San Pedro Neighborhood Association, went to Highland High School, went to Whittier, went to Wilson. I mean, this was my neighborhood, right? And I loved it. I loved all the community members. I loved everyone there. And when I left to go to school in California, and when I came back, I just kind of seen this different vibe, a thing where the Blockbuster used to be set up with a bunch of small businesses was gone, right? Uh-huh. And it was just an eye-opening experience for me to see a decline in a neighborhood that I loved so much that I thought could continue to be vibrant. Looked like it was on the downhill slope.
Yes. Well, I mentioned to you that I've been here my whole life. You've been here your whole life. Unfortunately, I'm twice as old as you. I don't want to talk about that. But here's the thing. I got to be very familiar with all of Highland. Every park where there was a concrete slab and a hoop, I know about because we used to play basketball there. And we used to do that freely. I mentioned a park to you that's up by, it's out of your district, a little bit east of Louisiana, near Wyoming, but the Trumbull Park neighborhood, mm-hmm. near the entrance to Sandia Base. It's an area now that we used to play basketball there all summer long, every weekend. Now I'm not sure that's the best thing for someone to do.
Absolutely. You know, and I felt the same way. You know, we would be able to ride bikes around the neighborhood all the time, freely, kind of go wherever you need to go. Yeah, when the sun went down, everyone had to get home. But it was a place that everyone looked out for each other. And don't get in trouble at your friend's house, because you're going to get in trouble there, and then you're going to get home, and you're going to get in trouble at your house.
Yeah, amen. So when we say the International District in Albuquerque, that means something that may not be real positive today. But Alex Horton has in mind to make that maybe as famous, maybe as attractive as visiting Chinatown or something like that. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, the International District went through a huge rebranding with Ray Garduño. You know, it was better known as the War Zone. That was the part of town. You know, everyone just referred to it as that. And I think the whole thing that everyone's been trying to do is change the narrative, right? Because there's a, you know, when new refugees come into Albuquerque, that's where they get placed, right? When people from all over the country come, like, that's a lot of the places where they get placed in this area. So it's this huge mixing bowl, right? And so a lot of the community leaders were like, you know, it is like an international district because you have things like Tallinn Market, right? You can go down and see all these different ethnicities and foods and vibrant culture all in one spot of town.
You're mentioning the food. So automatically I'm salivating and thinking flavors. I'm thinking Vietnamese food. I'm thinking Chinese food. I'm thinking Thai food. I mean, there's all kinds of things in your district about that. But tell us about the flavors of the people mm-hmm. living in that district.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, so many different rich cultures. And what's interesting to me is that at Highland, there's 36 languages spoken. Right. So there's 36 different languages that have been spoken. And so that's how you know it's really diverse. Right. And then not only that, you have a lot of people from base that come over that then they go to Highland. Right. So you have this huge influx of all these different cultures and food infused and all this culture infused into one little area of town.
Tell me what you guys are doing. Again, Alex Horton is our guest today. He's the founder of the International District Economic Development Center. They're located at 111 Wyoming Boulevard Northeast, 87123 in Albuquerque. If you want to email them, you can reach them at info@IDECONOMIC. So that's IDEconomic.com. And they can reach out to you for maybe they want to open up a business. Maybe they're an existing business and they want to expand. Are these all things that you can help them with?
Absolutely. So our whole goal is like focused place. I call it place-based incubation, right? So we want to help a business start, stay, and grow in the neighborhood. And doing it with community-based members that are wanting to kick off a business but don't really know where to start, right? We want to be that starter point to actually develop and bring commerce to the area. And we focus on working with a lot of other organizations that refer us clients that like, hey, they've expressed wanting to start a business. So really our whole thing is referrals, because we want the other community members that are doing maybe a program on addiction, maybe battered women, maybe they're doing refugee input. I mean, it's crazy to me. All these refugees come over with a skill, right? And they might not be able to go and work right away, but man, they know how to cut hair or they know how to cook. And a lot of times it's better for them to try to go and start a business than to just go and work a minimum wage job because they're entry level, right? But they know the name of the business. So that's kind of our focus. And really staying focused from Wyoming to San Mateo, from Gibson to Lomas. So we're really like hyper focused in an area to try to bring economic growth.
Oh, so you do go as far east as Wyoming.
Yeah, so I decided to be right at Wyoming in the heart. You know, I'm on Wyoming and Central sharing a fence with the McDonald's, right? And everyone's like, where are you located? I'm like, oh, northeast. They're like, oh, okay. And they're like, no, you know, I'm 2 feet away from southeast, right?
Yeah, sure.
So it's interesting. We took an old building that used to be the Albuquerque Career Institute. And, you know, trying to go through this process, I wanted to have an anchor location that people knew where to go to actually get services on trying to start a business. And we decided to create a co-working space because we knew that certain businesses only needed a small space to get started, right? Some resource, some technical assistance, a place to get some work done, and then also some access to capital. And we knew if we planted this in a building, we would have an area where local entrepreneurs can come and get these resources.
You mentioned technical assistance. I mean, I have in my mind that means dealing with the state of New Mexico, registering your business, all of those kinds of things. But it also might mean setting up computers and doing stuff like that.
Absolutely. So, you know, we try to have it to where we go where the entrepreneur is, right? So if they just got started and they're like, hey, I'm great at marketing. Well, we're not going to spend a lot of time with a marketing plan with you. But I'm lacking my financials. I don't know how to put together a profit and loss sheet. I don't know how to put together a budget. I need help on trying to negotiate a lease or what should I be looking out for? So it's those areas that we try to focus on where does the entrepreneur need the help in? And that's where we're going to kind of focus the program towards for them.
What is a business person outside of the district? What opportunities might be available for them to move a business into your district that they may not know about? They may have never looked.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's so much opportunity. I'll take one for instance. There was an old rundown strip center, and it actually used to be a church. First, it was the First Citizens Bank, so it's on San Mateo and Copper, 603. It's now called Stretch Fitness, but it was a rundown thing, and my buddy said, hey, Alex, I'm ready to open my business, and I think I want to move it back into the district. And he's like, help me find a space. And I said, I think I got the perfect place for you. It's ran down. I mean, this thing was vacant for about 10 years, so it's just completely destroyed. And he's looking at it, and he's looking at me, and he's like, no way I'm taking on this project. You know, he's like, this is just going to be too much time, too much money. I said, you know what? The community we get involved, a business is a great business that's not a smoke shop, not a car lot, not a title loan place. Right. Cause that area has a lot of those businesses when we've mapped out. So there needs to be different businesses like gyms, like small little coffee shops, right? Like main street businesses. And so he took a leap and he fixed it up. We got a gym located in there. And then right next to it, we opened up a flower shop that we helped get started. And so this was a vacant lot where all kinds of things happened, right? Like, crime, you know, just, it was just a hideout place. I mean, it's a vacant building. I mean, so much crime goes to a vacant building. I came from insurance, so when I would do a vacant building policy, it was triple the amount, very expensive, right? And so everyone knows that that's a huge liability. And now he's made it through COVID and he's thriving. He has so many members. He has 500 members and he's doing so well there. And that's kind of how we see it. Like, we want to be able to locate these areas that we can, I call it gentrification with the community, right? Because they're fixing up the small strip center, maybe getting it up to code, working with the landowners to get viable businesses that actually create spur in the neighborhood.
Alex Horton is our guest this afternoon. We've got one more segment with Alex. He's the founder of the International District Economic Development Center. He's a native New Mexican, already mentioned graduate of our friends at Highland High School. I had many games in the old Highland gym. We'll be back to talk to Alex. I'm going to ask him when we come back to give a shout out to some of the businesses in the district that all of us should be shopping and buying goods from. We'll be right back after these messages.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
This is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Most people have never memorized their vehicle's repair manual, let alone even read the small owner's manual in their glove box. Not to worry. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians and staff will guide you through all the ins and outs of vehicle repair and maintenance. Whether it is a car, truck, or SUV, we're here to help you maintain your investment. We are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And don't forget, we have free towing to our facility with repairs. Just call for details. With all that being said, there is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. Yes, it's God's written word. In it, you find God's design and purpose for your life and how he made a way of salvation so that you and I may have eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Remember what David said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." This is John Chitwood.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you're shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. You can reach them at 836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Alex Horton is the founder of the International District Economic Development Center. He's a native New Mexican, former Highland graduate, played a little football for the Hornets once upon a time, my friend.
Yes. Played some football, ran track. We won state our junior year. That was kind of the
state champions, kind of an exclusive club, my friend. You know? Not many in that club.
It was really good. We competed against Cibola and we were so close back and forth, and it was such a good little battle. So
hey, you're blessed to see kids back on the field and playing now, aren't you?
Oh, so excited. My son is actually in a flag football league now, and he's been so excited to get back with each other. I mean, sports does so much for people in communities, and it just brings people together. Sports a big equalizer.
Yeah, Alex, shout out to some of the businesses in the International District. Give us those borders again.
Yes. So we have from Wyoming to San Mateo to Gibson to Lomas is like the area that we're serving. And I know I already shot them out, but Stretch Fitness is a gym, open 24 hours, really, really good gym, doing a lot of training, great, great person to be around. Right next to it is Mustard Seed Flowers. Kim is the owner of it. And, I mean, she just has a green thumb. I mean, she sells bonsais. I mean, I've bought like four bonsais from her. and all through a pandemic, right? I think that's the resiliency. There's a lot of things that these entrepreneurs have, and it's resiliency of going and grinding. And if you haven't seen it, I call it the Breaking Bad barbecue truck, but it's Mr. Dennis Johns. He runs used to be set up on Montgomery and Carlisle. And he's from the neighborhood, lives in there. And so he set up on San Mateo and Southern. And if you want some really good barbecue, always kicking it fresh, you'll see a smoker going, and he's giving it right off the smoker into there. A good place to go in. And then if you're looking for a different type of cuisine, go to Ta Lin. There's going to be so many different flavors that you can choose from. So and then pizza, Giovanni's. Go to Giovanni's, get some good pizza. A great place to go.
Well, I appreciate you bringing up those businesses very much, and food is close to everybody's heart. And what we're really trying to do, you may be nervous about going into that neighborhood, but the only way fear can be overcome is if you go get to know the people. I told you a story when we first met today, a few minutes before the program started, when I went to the University of New Mexico. I was kind of nervous about a lot of the black athletes that were there because I didn't have a lot of close relationships with guys that were from inner city New York and East Los Angeles and so on and so forth. So after we went through a few battles on the court, pretty soon you figure out, man, these guys are just like I am. Yeah. And now they're my brothers, obviously, and we've been friends for 40 plus years. I hate the fact that I'm that much older than you. I just can't do anything about it. That's just the way the Lord has set it up. Hey, tell us what businesses in the International District need. And I have a feeling this is going to apply to all businesses in New Mexico. What do we need from our politicians?
Yeah, I think all in all, I think it's like, how do we support the micro small entrepreneurs, right? With maybe untaking off some of that red tape that it costs to actually get things going. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, our elected officials run on a lot of cycles, right? So it's hard to get to the root causes of things because then priorities change when administrations change. And so to me, it's like we got to actually be creating that advocacy. So that's part of some of the work we do is like, hey, we want to have those conversations with our legislators, people, and they're like, you need to hear firsthand how some of these policies or some of these things are affecting the neighborhood that you're supporting, right? And either negatively or positively.
I want to make sure I quote you correctly, so correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But off the air, and it's a shame it can't always be on the air because all the good stuff or a lot of the good stuff happens when you're off the air. But you said something to me when we first met today. You said, look, government is not the answer. These elected officials or politicians, if you will, they run on election cycles. It's really up to us.
Absolutely. You know, I think that was the first thing where they're like, well, oh, Alex, all right, well, how much funding are you getting from the government? And I was like, to start, zero. Because I was like, we have to be the ones to do this work ourselves, right? Because at the end of the day, you're going to change your outcome. You can't be reliant on the government to change things for you. You got to be at the center of change, and then you tell them what you need, you know? And if you want our support and things like this, this is what we need. And being organized and planning, and I call it being reactive. You know, sometimes communities, especially in the International District, I mean, is reactive. Oh, we're going to build this. Oh, great. You guys get to pick out the trees. No. I don't want to be picking out the trees, right? I want to help making the decision on what goes on this lot because we all know what we need here. We need a clinic. We need a local grocer, right? Like the neighborhood knows, right? And so I just feel like we have to empower the community to actually change their own outcomes.
I want to see you because of the proximity that you have to Sandia National Laboratories and Kirtland Air Force Base. I'd love to see some office building development and some people that are top-level scientists and so forth that are going to be buying food from the food trucks and heading over to Kim's Flower Shop, Mustard Seed Flowers, and go to Stretch Fitness on, you know, right after work to get a workout. Those are the kinds of jobs. We don't just need them in the International District. But right now, it seems to me there's a pretty good opportunity for purchasing real estate in that area at a bargain.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's always opportunity, right? And I think that's what we've seen. We're like, hey, if we're not going to be the ones to do it, you know, you're going to get an out-of-state developer come in and say, hey, we could gobble up the whole thing, right? And it's like, and it could look completely different. And so I think it's like, yeah, how do we get the community to take ownership in what's actually happening and actually really creating some equity lenses of like, hey, we can actually do real estate development together, and we know what we need to get done. So absolutely, I think, you know, we have the labs, you have the Air Force Base, you have all this commerce around that, you know, there's no reason this area should be like how it is.
Yeah, and but you have to have a person who is persevering and relentless. Does that describe Alex Horton?
Gosh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were launching our co-working space in March of 2020. So a place where we wanted 20 people to be in a building at one time. Whew, let's see how that went, right? I mean, right? So it's like, okay, we pivoted and we offered everything online, and we switched from starting new businesses to just keeping the businesses that are there alive, getting them through PPP, processing PPP loans. I mean, just really pivoting on what was the exact need right then and there when the pandemic first started.
So what you just talked about really has to do with this question too. We have so many technologies available today, and you've already mentioned that's one of the services you provide. But I know that you're also dealing with immigrants. You actually use the word refugees, yep, people that have not been really processed into the country yet. I'm a former banker. At the time I retired, which was 3-4 years ago, I was able to grab your credit report. I could obtain a criminal background check and verify your assets within a matter of minutes. Mm. I'm trying to figure out to this day, why is it so hard for us to do those kind of background checks and things for people coming into this country? Because even if you had to go do some paperwork in another country to get a background check, give a list of what you need and have people provide it. I'm confused.
Absolutely. No, I agree on that. It's like there should be some type of system, because not only that, it's hard. You can't access the certain things. Like, you couldn't go get a bank loan. If I'm a refugee coming over, I can't go get, even if I was going to start a business, I can't go get a bank loan. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't have those things there. So essentially we're bringing them over. We partner with a group called Vision Sankofa, and she does a lot of the placement for refugees. I mean, coming fresh off and working to get them housing, working to get them employment, and trying to show them, like, how does it work here in the United States? Because it's completely different. You know, they're big families. I mean, families of nine. I mean, it's big families coming over, and you're like, oh, there has to be a process and a flow. And, you know, I've seen the work that she's done. I can't believe it, on getting people acclimated into just how it runs out here and getting them being successful.
Well, and I love this story. I love this fruit, if you will, mm-hmm, of your work. Is there are success stories. Mm-hmm. You've got people that are doing well, not without some hassles, though.
Right.
I mean, and I guess anything worth doing, it takes a little bit of work. Hey, I want to ask you how you guys are working with law enforcement, or maybe how law enforcement is working with you in the district.
Yeah, so, you know, there was a thing that the DA's office put together. It was the community crime-based reduction. And they tried to pull a lot of community members, because we were always saying, like, how can we, you know, I started the thing where I was like, how can we create a dialogue, right? How can we create an open dialogue? Because I'll give you a scenario. If I'm a young boy and my dad is beating up on my mom, and then I'm going, and then the last time that someone called the police, my dad was gone, right? So that kid has a different perspective versus saying, okay, my dad won't get taken away, but I'm going to call my uncle because my uncle's going to beat him up. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's just changing the narrative. It's just changing the narrative where the first encounters isn't of an encounter of like, oh man, I don't want to call him because someone's going to get taken away. It should be more of a, hey, my first encounter was, we were just having a conversation and he was playing basketball with me. I mean, there was tons of times when I grew up in the neighborhood where we knew who our local guy was, right? Like, he would just come pop by, say hello, because he knew the first time. Now, I know police officers are definitely overworked, right? There's so many calls to respond to where you might not have that luxury of time. But that was the main thing we did. We opened up our co-working space where, hey, please come in and do your paperwork here. If you need a place to do paperwork, come set up, because it creates this community dialogue that is like, the first time I interact with you, oh, you know, this will be okay. One of my good friends is now one of the officers that's one of the bike cops.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll drop off water. We'll have water set up, because, again, it's creating these interactions. We actually got broken into when I first started this. You know, I wanted to throw in the towel because I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be so hard. And it was just when we were in construction, getting things going. And the main chief, he came over. He's like, hey, I got the call. I just want to see if you're okay, Alex. And it meant so much to me that he took that time out, knowing that there was already three people that responded, And he just came in just to come check on because, like, I know what you're doing, man. We're all supportive of you. And I just wanted to see if you're okay. I'm like, man, I'm okay, and I really appreciate it. But see, it's that dialogue that we miss. And I feel like we can bridge that. So trying to work with communities on saying, hey, how do we bridge these things? You know, how do we set up a hawk light, right? The neighborhood was saying, hey, we want hawk lights. We want people to know that there's people watching, right? Mm-hmm. And we want to create those dialogues to where we can have successful conversations and not always like, oh, they're just here to take someone away. It's like, they're taken away because of XYZ, but I know John and he's came and talked with me. And, you know, that's kind of where I feel that we've been trying to bridge.
Alex, tell us a little bit about the youth in the district. Again, another, you're a former Highland student. Kids are back in school mm-hmm. about a week.
Yep.
I think last Monday was their first day back. I know that that is helping the mental health of a lot of children.
Oh, 100%. Actually, my dad, he's now working back. He's working at Highland now. So he's an EA working with special needs students at Highland High School. And we do a lot of work with DECA. Coach Washington, great. I mean, Highland has the best DECA program in the state. They always win state. Last year they won state, and I think this is kids putting together businesses, right? So I'm a DECA product. I love DECA.
I've been a DECA judge, and we videotape the business presentations. Uh-huh. And I have to tell for our listeners that don't know about DECA, that's an amazing program because kids have to put together a business plan. They have to make a presentation to a panel of judges. It's cool stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And at Highland, they have to run a social enterprise. So they run the store, and it's all read by students. It's a student-based store. So it's all these soft skills that we think that is gone out of schools, but it's still there. And for them to be back, they're just so excited. You could just see it. I went back and I always do presentations over there, and I went over there and talked, and you could just see how fired up people are glad to be back and learning, because what you have in the district is you had these, you know, all the students are on Wi-Fi, so the bandwidth is bad. So the students are learning from their phone. I mean, you're not really learning from that. It's just harder. So then to be able to come back, you know, they're going to get a meal. You know, there's just all these other things that add in to it. So it's been really good. Every student I've talked to, they've just been so excited.
There is so much more for us to talk to you about, but our time is up. I've got Travis Clark from Steelbridge Transformation Ministry coming in after you. But that's my excuse to ask you to come back on the show.
Absolutely, and Travis is a great guy. So.
I appreciate you saying that. Alex Horton is the founder of the International District Economic Development Center here in Albuquerque. He's located at 111 Wyoming Boulevard, 87123. You can reach out to them at ideconomic.com or call them on the phone at 922-5671. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you all.